Here, since we're on it, Serena Williams. This was her response.
I feel like I wish I could give her a hug because I know what it's like. Like I said, I've been in those positions. We have different personalities, and people are different. Not everyone is the same. I'm thick. You know, other people are thin. So everyone is different, and everyone handles things differently. So, you know, you just have to let her handle it the way she wants to in the best way that she thinks she can. And that's the only thing I can say. I think she's doing the best that she can.
That was Serena Williams. Real fast, Vicky in North Aurora. Hey, Vic.
Hey, guys. Really quick. This is a unique, you need a little more context around this. This is a unique situation, particular to the French Open, because there's two, I read an article about this last week. There's two factions of media that tend to be very harassing to the athletes at this particular tournament. So I think it maybe goes back to a little bit of she doesn't mind meeting the press. I mean, I don't 100% know because I'm not in her head, but it might go back to the fact of these two harassing factions of media that have been credentialed for this particular tournament.
Yeah, I get it. Appreciate your call, Vicky.
Yeah, I got to go. I'm late for a 9 o'clock appointment.
All right,
bye, guys.
You got it. It's a really tough situation. I empathize greatly with her. I just think, as Pam Shriver, who was another Hall of Fame tennis player, said, if we had a commissioner of this sport, I can't believe at the end of a global pandemic in 2021 that's wreaked havoc with mental health, especially of our younger people, this is just a sad day for tennis. They would have figured some way around this. Anyway, we have two first-place baseball teams. Are they legitimate contenders? In 2 minutes.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap Jay Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
So, the White Sox split a doubleheader yesterday. Michael Kopech to the injured list, but the Sox have, I think, the second best record in the American League.
Behind the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yep, who are rolling. Rolling. And the Cubs had a great environment yesterday for the San Diego Padres to be in town, and they found a way to bludgeon them. Two homers for Javi. Two for Patrick Wisdom, one and a triple for Christopher Bryant. And it's making Jed Hoyer, Tom Ricketts, the Ricketts family rethink their position. What do we do here? Do we re-sign these guys? Because they're playing, as Anthony Rizzo, who will join us at 9:35, told us a week ago. Yeah, we're playing with a chip on our shoulder. Chris Bryant doubled down on it. And we'll ask Riz what it's like now. Look over at the Padres. And Javi said, but look at that expensive infield. Hosmer, Tatis, Machado. $785 million. And you've got Bryant, Baez, Rizzo sitting there. What do you do? What do you do? This was the environment at Wrigley yesterday. Baez, 455 feet to dead center over the batter's eye. Almost hit the camera in the little hut out there in center field. That ball was absolutely murdered. He hit another one to left. Patrick Wisdom, as I said, hit two, and Brian hit one to right that got the outfielder, Will Myers, a beer shower. And it wasn't, the guy didn't dump it on him intentionally. He tried to catch the ball in his beer cup. And, of course, that wasn't going to end well. And the beer went all over Will Myers. But it was an awesome environment. And I was at Guaranteed Rate twice in the last couple, 3 weeks. It was awesome. Last Monday night, my wife and I had a blast. We went out there and watched the Sox and Lance Lynn beat the Cardinals. And now they've got to deal with another injury with Kopech on the shelf. Jimmy Lambert wasn't very good yesterday, Jeff Mellor. Very good.
That's where having Kopech would have really been nice, because he's stepped into the role whenever they have
these the doubleheader makeups because of rainouts.
Yep.
Where Kopech has been, I think almost every time he's been asked, he's answered the bell. He's come in and given them a quality performance every time he's been asked to do so. And this is the first time this year where he was unable to because he was on the injured list or was placed on the injured list because of the hamstring injury. And Jimmy Lambert clearly, three earned runs.
Yeah, he was just not sharp.
No, and, again, he's right now not really, even though he's pitched in the majors, not really a major league caliber arm. But the truth is, though, the Sox have been able to continue to be amongst the best teams in baseball despite all these injuries. And I think they've been fortunate because even though they've been, I don't want to call them devastating injuries, but they've been huge blows. You know, Eloy and Robert, both long-term injuries. Kopech's been somebody who the fan base has been absolutely thrilled with and excited about. But the foundation, your MVP, Jose Abreu, Tim Anderson, only a few nicks here and there. He's been able to, for the most part, take the field every day, except for a short injury to begin the season and a few, day-to-day things earlier throughout the season. But he's been there for the most part. You've got Anderson and Abreu who have been there all year long. And then the rotation has been magnificent. Lynn, Giolito, he's coming around. And then Rodon, Cease. I mean, they've been awesome. And, and even Keuchel, has been serviceable. So the pitching's there. And that's helped them survive these injuries to the point where they've been awesome. To me, though, Cap, I still can't believe I look at the Cubs right now and I say, wow, they are in first place on June 1st. That's the surprising part.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, we expected the White Sox to be right there. And then the injuries hit. We're like, I don't know about the injuries. But holy smokes. To see the Cubs literally destroy the plan that they had laid out. We're going to start to trade Kimbrel, and then we're going to trade this guy, and we're going to trade that guy, and we're going to get all these prospects back, and we'll rebuild in the offseason with no financial ramifications on our books that we can't spend. We're under the luxury tax, and here we go. Oh, wait a minute. Somebody forgot to tell the players. And I wonder, not that they want anyone to get hurt, but deep down, are they going, all right, that's got to slow this train down? No, not so much.
I mean, they were 19-8 in May, and even though the schedule was a little bit softer because the Pirates were on there six times, you beat the Tigers, the Nationals haven't been very good this year, and even when they got the Dodgers at the right time because the Dodgers were scuffling along. Still 19-8. Anytime you can do that during a month, I don't care who you're playing, that in itself is quite the achievement. I'm just wondering if they can continue, if you're buying it. We've already talked about the next stretch of 12 games where they're going to be very difficult for them. And then even after that, they have the Mets for another four. So the next 16 games are really going to tell you how good this team actually is against real competitive teams. Are you buying it, Cap? Right now, on June 1st, do you think the Cubs are a playoff team?
The way they're playing, yes.
I know, but so where do you think we'll be in 2 weeks if you had to bet? Do you think all of a sudden, with the San Diego Padres for five more, the San Francisco Giants for four, and the Cardinals for three, do you think the Cubs will be in a similar position after when we get back on June 14th after the Cardinals series?
Yes. I think they may not be in first all alone, but I think they're going to be right there. They are absolutely going to be a team that has to be reckoned with. Unless you tell me that Jed Hoyer wakes up today, his phone rings, and it's Brian Cashman, goes, my team's underachieving, what do you want? I got to have that guy. But I think they're close to getting Rizzo back. We'll find out at 9:35.
Yep. But haven't the players forced Jed's hand at this point where I don't know if he can make a move where he's trading key players, even if they are free agents. I mean, he can, but do you really want to alienate your fan base when you're in first place or competing for first place with the Cardinals in a bad division? Do you really want to trade away these players who, and it's not just like, oh, the Cubs have had some success. No, they won the World Series championship. They ended the drought. Mm-hmm. So you have Rizzo, Bryant, and Javi Baez and Wilson Contreras on this roster who, even if teams come calling for them, if you're competing this year, I think they've tied Jed's hands at this point.
Well, I think Danny said it would be malpractice was the word that he used.
So you would like to see them trade, Danny?
I'm not saying I would.
Not you, but Danny, you as a diehard Cubs fan, as long as I've known you, you've been someone who lives and dies with this team. You would like to see them trade Chris Bryant and Javier Baez just to salvage, you know, the asset?
Yes. Listen, if there's a legitimate run through the playoffs and there's a chance this Cubs team could have some success this year, of course don't trade them. But the idea of losing Chris Bryant or Javi Baez or Anthony Rizzo or Craig Kimbrel for nothing and you're going to rebuild your team without the assets they could bring back, I think that would – that. It's malpractice on Jed Hoyer's part if he doesn't get something for them. You cannot just hold on to Chris Bryant to keep the fan base happy until the season ends and then lose it for nothing and get a worthless draft pick.
Completely.
You can't.
I understand what Danny's saying, but can you straddle that fence here? They're right now in first place. You know, the trade deadline is July 31st, right? Like,
well, you mentioned the daunting June that they have. So if I'm Jed Hoyer, right, I say to myself, I am going to watch June play out. They were very good in May. I think they were 19-8. 19-8 in May. They were very good.
I think it might have been the second best record in baseball because I think the Rays were 22-6.
Yeah, because they won like 15 of the last 16
or
something
like that. Yeah, correct. So if I'm Jed Hoyer, I say we had a really good May. We've got a very tough schedule here in June. I'm going to sit back and just let June play out to see what I'm dealing with. Is this team legit contenders? Can they play with the big boys in baseball? If they can, then I'm going to not trade my pieces, maybe invest in some pieces, actually be buyers, and make a run to win. However, if they show me that they're not capable of playing with the big boys, and this is one of those things where if we make the playoffs, it's one and done and we're out, I've got to get something back for my assets.
Okay, I think that's a pretty clear, you know, that's black or white. But as we were talking about earlier, Cap, with the shades of gray, if they win a game or two more, say above 500, so they, you know, they don't fall back, but they're still in the midst of whatever it happens to be, a game above. You know, if they're in first place, I think everybody would agree you can't make any moves. But let's say they scuffle along with this difficult schedule, but they don't, like, completely, you know, submarine themselves. Would you, if you're a game and a half out behind the Cardinals after this tough stretch, that's where it gets a little more murky. What are you doing if you're Jed Hoyer? And Cubs fans, would you be upset if Jed Hoyer goes ahead and trades any of these players for the assets that Danny wants, if you're a game or two games out of first place?
I think if you are a game or two out, I'm not talking like six, you're like a game or two coming through a brutal stretch.
Yes.
Padres here, Giants there, Padres there. Like, you got the
Cardinals.
Mets, the Cardinals. You got all these tough teams. If you go, they offered me a deal I couldn't turn down, so I traded Chris and Kimbrel. No. You run the risk of alienating your fan base at a time when the team on the South side might win the World Series.
Yeah, but you can't worry about you can't make moves for the fan base. I understand that the fans are the most important thing. They're paying the salaries. They're why we do this whole thing. But you can't make your decisions based on backlash from the fan base. Jed Hoyer has to go into his office, close his door, sit with his most trusted people and say, going forward, what's the best thing for this organization? And keeping Chris Bryant just to keep the loud fan base from getting even louder would be a mistake.
Yeah, but I'm talking if you are a game and a half out.
What's the number? If they fall to three games
north
back?
North of three, I'd understand it.
So if they get to like four games back at the end of June, you know, a gauntlet of a June, you'll be okay. I can see why Jed made the move. Danny, four games out, is it time to sell?
Yeah, I'm down with that.
What about three games?
I'm all right selling there also.
Two games.
Listen, we saw
two
the writing
games.
On the...
They're two games back. Jed decides to sell.
I'm going
to
ask you a question. The over-under's at 1.5. We knew what the Cubs' plan was when the owner said loss is a biblical proportion, and then they traded away Yu Darvish for a bunch of nothing. We know what the plan was. So the fact that this team's coming together and finally playing the kind of baseball they should have played 2-3 years ago, and now we want to be like, well, we can't trade Chris Bryant and Javi Baez, that's ridiculous.
Imagine how many games up you guys would be if you had Yu Darvish.
You cannot lose Chris Bryant and Javi Baez for nothing. You cannot. You can't.
Okay, so let me read you the list again. This is the teams that are the players that are on the injured list. Jonathan Holder, Trevor McGill, Alec Mills, Justin Steele, Rowan Wick, Trevor Williams, Austin Romine, Danny's guy David Bodie, Matt Duffy, Nico Horner, Jason Hayward, Jake Mariznick. Like, more than half that list, you don't even care if they make it back.
Thank you for making that point.
Way more than half that list.
Yes. There's five contributors.
Like, other than Justin Steele, who's been really good.
Mariznick, Mills is Hayward, Bodie, and
Mills,
Nico.
Mills could have been a starter.
Steele, Rowan Wick, Bodie, Duffy, Horner, Hayward.
And Mills. I'll give you Mills because he's part of the rotation.
There's Mariznick one. But a Mariznick bunch of those guys, you go, yeah, whatever.
Of course. And every team has injuries.
Meller has a really interesting day ahead of him. And we'll get your calls. It's all coming up next.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So, Meller has a really interesting day ahead of him.
I do, Cap.
What do you got going?
So, I don't know about you, but like it feels like, I don't know, 25 days out of the month, I have almost nothing going on. I go to work, and then I, you know, a few things here and there. I might have one activity I need to get my kids to throughout the day. But for the most part, it's, you know, very monotonous, not a whole lot going on. All of a sudden today, on the way things align, I scheduled an appointment for my dog with her vet for a teeth cleaning. And I don't know if
I always wonder if that whole teeth cleaning thing is a scam.
So this is leads perfectly. That question was exactly, that was JR's response. That was Danny Zetterman's response. When I mentioned that I was getting my dog's teeth cleaned this morning, and Danny, who's contemplating or trying to work his wife to get a dog.
Begging. You can say Danny's begging his wife to get a dog.
He's begging his wife to get a dog. Had no idea what the process of getting your dog's teeth cleaned.
Oh, it's
is.
A big deal, Danny. They got to put the dog out.
Do you get your dog's teeth cleaned?
We have because, like, I usually am the one that takes the dog to the vet.
As am I, yes.
And so I took Yoshi to the vet. And the vet, she showed me all of this tartar. And he had had a liver problem. And so he's been on pills for a long, long time. He's 13 and a half. Anyway, she said that can contribute to it. That's why you need to do it.
And I had a similar conversation. My dog is 13 and a half as well, 13 years and 7 months. So almost exactly the same age as Yosh. And so my vet also said, look, you know, you don't, she's older, you don't have to do this, but, you know, my dog, she's a Shiba Inu. That breed can live, you know, 16, 18 years. And she said, my concern is that, you know, we get to 15 years old and we're saying to ourselves, hey, I wish we would have, you know, had the teeth cleaning done back when she was 13 because, you know, she has, like you said, a little bit of tartar buildup on her teeth. And I mentioned to Danny and JR that, okay, so in all of a sudden, I usually have nothing going on. Well, I scheduled this appointment months ago for my dog to get her teeth cleaned, and my wife had to drop her off in the morning, and I will pick her up this afternoon. And Danny was like, what did you say to me, Danny? Well, how long does the appointment take? And I said, well, she had to be there by 7:30, and I'll probably go and get her sometime around 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Correct, because they put him out with general anesthesia. Danny, it's not like, hey, Yoshi, sit up and get open your teeth up for me, and they take a toothbrush.
Yeah.
No.
No, no.
It is a procedure.
Yes.
Where they're out cold.
And so she, yeah, and then obviously if there's any other issues with teeth, they'll go ahead and do that while they're under. And yeah, so I tell him about that process, and then turns out my daughter actually has an appointment scheduled for her orthodontist this afternoon. So I'm going to have to, prior to picking my dog up, I have to sneak in my daughter with her orthodontist appointment, and then as soon as that is over, I need to drop her off back at home so my wife can shuttle her over to the Western Springs pool because apparently there's a swim team tryout thing that's going on that she needs to be there for like 5 or 10 minutes so they can check, you know, check and watch what her strokes are like. So we have to get that. We have to squeeze that in before we pick up the dog. And then my son, who usually has soccer practice, sure enough, we find out yesterday they're rescheduling a game that was rained out. So now I have a soccer game as well. So I have to do all these little tasks in between. Normally I have nothing going on, Cap. Usually I have to go one place. I drive one kid one spot, pick him up. All of a sudden I have a dog's teeth cleaning. I have my daughter's orthodontist appointment, and then I've got to grab my son and get him to his soccer game. All when I normally have nothing going on, all of a sudden everything's happening. And
Danny
and Jay are wondering if I even need to get my dog's teeth cleaned.
Yeah, I mean, we love our vet, so I trust my vet. Because I brought another one of the dogs in, Sparky, and she said, I don't think you need to get these teeth cleaned yet. They're really doing a good job keeping the teeth, because we give them those greenies or those other things to gnaw on.
That was Sparky.
Sparky, the Siberian
Did you find
Husky.
Out, is Sparky your passcode for your alarm?
It is not.
It's not Sparky?
I figured out what the passcode is.
Because we know it's not Studley.
Code is Studley. Code is Studley. We're fine.
No, yeah. Code is not Studley.
It
We're
is not,
not fine.
Studley. Yeah, if you missed the show the other day, the police. Danny wasn't even here for that.
It's not Sparky
either. I was
either.
Not.
We filled Danny in a little bit.
Yeah, policeman at my freaking door.
How do you not know your password?
He knows it.
Code is Studley. Code is Studley. We're fine.
The police wouldn't have been there.
Right. I had no idea what the passcode was.
Do you think Mindy does that on purpose in case she ever has to lock you out?
No, because I called her after the show on Friday. I said, hon, what is the passcode? She's like, I don't know. You changed it. Yeah. And so I called the alarm company and I said,
what are you
okay.
Just king and dog's name? Studley, Sparky, Yoshi.
Yeah. So I called the
take that
the alarm company and the lady got on the phone and I said, hi, my name's David Kaplan. And she goes, he's calling. She said, we had so many laughs at your expense.
Rightfully so.
From when I had the fire department there because I was cooking while
I do my radio show.
Okay.
I work at ESPN.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, get your passcode in order. That's what he told me.
It's a nice subtle humble brag there.
Yeah, I'm going to do my radio show.
So code is Studley. Code is Studley. We're fine.
Yeah, it's not. That used to be the code. And then I changed it and couldn't remember what I changed it to.
So have you guys okay. So you still don't know the code?
I do now.
Okay. Did you did a reset?
No. So when I called, she said, we can reset it. I have to email you a form, blah, blah, blah. I said, can I try and guess what it is? She said, sure. And I guessed, and on the first guess, I got it.
So it took you a few days to kind of clear out the cobwebs, but a few days later, you finally guessed what it, or it was the same day, it was just later in the day.
Correct.
Okay. So we do know what Cap's, or Cap knows what his password is.
So I figure it out.
So hopefully in the future, there's
Danny,
no more
thank God
issues.
You weren't here Friday, because I would not have heard the end of it.
Oh, come on. It happens to all of us forgetting our passwords and having the alarm
first
go off
of all,
and police showing up.
My wife was not happy because she was trying to sleep in on their camping trip, and at 4:30 in the morning, the alarm company's calling her. Yeah. Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. But I figured it out. Anyway, 312-332-3776. Meller, good luck with the dog cleaning. I mean, the teeth cleaning of the dog. Anthony Rizzo, next.
Cap and Jay Hood, mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Anthony Rizzo in a couple of moments. Cubs and Padres tonight at the friendly confines. A lot of sports today. You got White Sox in Cleveland. You got Cubs hosting San Diego. The NBA and NHL playoffs roll on. I watched frickin' Maple Leafs crush me at a multi-team parlay. And I'm alive. All I need.
Multi. When you say multi, you're talking real multi.
Yeah, like 19.
That's a big play.
7-0. And I need the Jazz on the money line. They won. And I need the frickin' Maple Leafs. And they completely screwed me.
Well, that's what you get for tying a choke artist in on your parlay there, Cap.
Yeah, they are a choke artist. Right. Anyway, Anthony Rizzo brought to you by your Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Dear driver, hurry in and save. Toyota and Valparaiso University.
Anthony Rizzo with Cap and Jay Hood.
Rizzo to right. Out of here. You're one, and Rizzo sends one to deep right field. No doubt about it.
Anthony Rizzo.
Rizzo in the air. Well hit. It is a grand slammer. A monster shot for Anthony Rizzo.
Anthony Rizzo on Cap and Jay Hood. Right here on ESPN 1000.
Rizzo, R-I-Z-Z-O.
All right, let's get right to it. By the way, Hoodie has the day off. He will be back with us tomorrow. Anthony Rizzo joins us now here on Cap J Hood. Riz, good morning. Last week, we said to you, Hoodie asked you, you ready to play? And you said, oh, yeah, I'm in the lineup. And then I'm driving downtown to go to the Joe West celebration party. And I see a thing on my phone. Anthony Rizzo has been scratched. And David Ross said, yeah, I think he got hurt sitting on the couch talking to Cap. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good, actually. It's feeling a lot better. Put it through a big test yesterday. You know, when it's in May like this, when it's early in the season, it's just you have the time to be a little more cautious with everything. So I think that's the approach we took. It's very frustrating because, you know, I want to be out there even if I have aches and pains, but I give credit to our training staff for, you know, keeping me in the right position and right mind frame. And but as long as everything goes well today, I totally plan on being in the lineup tonight.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Get you back in the lineup. Yeah. So, all right, your club went 19-8. You have 12 players on the injured list, plus you, who weren't IL, thank goodness, but you haven't played in 8 days or 7 days. So what is it like in that dugout, in that clubhouse? Because the Padres roll in and everyone went, who's Cole Stewart? And then you guys bludgeon them.
Yeah, I said in the beginning of the season and you know, our team was going to be a team that, you know, we know we have some talent and we know we can be good, but it was about building throughout the year. And I think through April with the terrible start, you know, once guys started settling in and the real belief starts coming, it could be pretty scary. And you got guys in that clubhouse with looks in their eyes that are looking at each other like, man, this is, you know, that belief is still building and the confidence level is rising as a unit. And everyone in our clubhouse is having a lot of fun as far as just being loose and really, really gelling.
So Javi said after the game yesterday, I was telling some of the guys in the dugout, boy, that's an expensive three-man infield they got over there of Hosmer, Machado, Tatis, $785 million. There you are, free agent to be. Chris, free agent to be. Javi, free agent to be. Did you also notice that?
I mean, they got great talent over there, that's for sure, and well-deserved guys who play the game day in and day out. So, but as far as that's known, I think we're just so, you know, what we have building right now and is something that is just exciting for us. You know, our bullpen has really just been locked down, and over the years we've had really good bullpens, but the way they've been just locking games down has been really impressive. And it almost kind of reminds me of some Brewers teams the last couple of years where they get a lead early from some of their starting pitchers and, you know, they win that game. So, you know, we have the firepower to score a lot of runs, but the games where we didn't score a lot of runs, like we were in St. Louis and we win a couple one-run ball games, that's big for us.
So Cubs pitchers in the month of May produced a 2.52 ERA, 3.18 for the starters, and 159 for the relievers. And we're seeing guys like Nance at some of these other guys, and people are going, who are these guys? I guess it shows how hard it is to build a bullpen because you never know where it's coming from.
No, you don't. And they just come in. Keegan, and I know we lost Justin Steele, but the pair has been amazing for us. Chafe and Kimbrel has just been lights. He's been Craig Kimbrel. And Dylan Maples, I mean, I could just – the whole list. And Davies and Hendricks are settled in and are starting to be Davies and Hendricks that we all know. Owsley's, you know, blossom into what could be something really, really good here for a long time. So we have the pieces, Arrieta with just being Jake and the veteran presence. So we have the pieces, and you know, we have just the personalities, the constant camaraderie in the dugout, in the clubhouse has been really good all year.
So now you're playing the Padres again tonight, then a day game tomorrow, then you get on a plane, you get four with the Giants, who have the best record, I think, or second best record in the National League. Then you go to San Diego. You still got games with the Cardinals, the Mets. You're still going to have to play the Dodgers on the road. Do you feel like that is going to be the measuring stick of whether Jed adds on or follows through on what we all thought was going to be their plan? How do you look at the next 2-3 weeks?
I think, like I said last week, just the chip on the shoulder in the clubhouse, and you know, it's guys are we want to win, you know, and Wrigley yesterday, I mean, was absolutely rocking. And
yep.
We're having fun with it, and you know, winning cures everything. And we always said that, and we knew that going in. Winning will solve everything. And I think everyone deep down wants to win and win convincingly. And this is obviously the last year for a lot of guys under contract, but just you got to take it one day at a time. And I think as we continue to build, you know, tonight, just keep winning series. I know we've been doing a good job at that, but take it one series at a time.
So the Javi play in Pittsburgh last week, I'm watching the game going, there's no way that happened. You're a first baseman. Now, you're a veteran. You're a gold glover. That guy was a gold glover in the minor leagues. Like, he knows how to play the position. What is going through your mind? And then your and your teammates' reactions when it happened was phenomenal to watch.
Yeah, I obviously I don't think everyone's ever seen that. So, you know, watching the game when I'm hurt or not playing and know I'm not playing, it's just I'm in a totally different state of mind, like checked out wise mentally. So seeing that, I was like, man, what? I try to dissect it. I'm like, I'm thinking of what I would have done. But yeah, it was crazy. I think he just forgot how many outs there were or whatnot, but you have Wilson around and Javi kind of waving him in, and just happened fast. But it was just hilarious that, you know, only Javi can pull that off.
The funniest part of the whole play, other than seeing you and all your teammates just like, this is the greatest thing we've ever seen, was Javi at home plate calling the guy safe.
I know. And then realizing, oh, man, I need to run to first or else it doesn't count.
Right.
That's
people forgot that all he had to do was either tag him or step on first. It's a continuation play. The run wouldn't have counted.
Yeah, I just think that it kind of sped up there. And you're in weird territory as a first baseman getting down that far. And then you see a guy going to score and just a weird play that ended up giving us a good morale boost there.
Did you guys talk about it on the plane? Do you say anything to the young kid for the Pirates? Like, dude, don't let this define you. Do you talk to him about it?
I didn't play those last couple games, but I think just going into Pittsburgh after the series from St. Louis was big for us. I mean, St. Louis was rocking. The fans there were, I think they were at like 80-90%. And then you go to Pittsburgh and it was just, they weren't up to speed as far as fan base, letting people in the ballpark. So could have been a very easy series for us to just not, you know, show up. And guys, we win two out of three there. I think we swept there, didn't we? I don't know. But we had a great series there. And it's just credit to our team for continuing to play good baseball.
And then you get two more with the Padres, and then you head out west. Now that you have fans back, like, here, this was what it sounded like. Now, you're in the dugout here in this, but this is what it sounded like yesterday on the broadcast. So that's when the ball hit above the batter's eye. Like, what was that like to watch?
It's just, it's amazing. You know, you see, even I remember yesterday during a pitching change, them playing a song, just the whole stadium dancing and enjoying being at a ball game on Memorial Day, good weather, Cubs are winning. You know, you just, I took in a moment there to appreciate that because obviously of everything over the last year, but it's just, it makes all the difference in the world. And it's a huge, it's a big, big home field advantage for us. And I think this year, especially, it's going to be even a bigger home field advantage because everyone getting used to, the loud cheers and roars, and, coming to Wrigley and playing at Wrigley is different than anywhere else.
All right. So you, if the day goes well, you plan on playing tonight?
That is correct. Hopefully I don't jinx myself, but yeah, I plan on being in there tonight. I was trying to get in there yesterday, but I think just giving it the extra couple days was definitely smarter in the long run. But from the competitor in me, I wanted to be in there, a little sooner, but I think it's what's best, and hopefully we have this thing next this year.
All right, so the first time since 2008, Memorial Day, you went to bed and White Sox players went to bed, and both teams were alone in first place. Liam Hendricks was asked about his team, Chicago baseball. Here's what he said. I feel like we have to take four steps to get any sort of national recognition while our crosstown rivals just have to put together one game and they'll get on it. When you hear something like that, you go, let's go. Game on. Let's have a little rivalry here, or you don't pay attention?
No, I mean, they're playing great baseball. They had a great team, you know, and I think that's just the markets. I know it's the same city, but the markets are just totally different. And we're a big market. We're a top three, four market in, you know, all of sports. So, you know, we have a historic franchise with a national landmark we play at. It's just everything here is great, and it doesn't take away from anything the White Sox are doing. They're a great team, and they play hard. And I think our matchups with them will be fun this year, especially with all the fans back and both teams with pretty high expectations. It should make for a fun crosstown rivalry.
All right, last thing. We've had some fans want to know, where do they send fan mail to Kevin Rizzo?
I guess you could send it some to Wrigley, but he, Kev's been enjoying all the Cubs wins. He's been really, really happy for us.
You got to get Kev his own Instagram account.
People have been pushing, but we're trying to keep him humble.
Yeah, exactly. Keep him out of social media.
Yeah, he's too young.
All right, best to Emily, and we're looking forward to seeing you in the lineup tonight.
All right, Cap. Take care. Thank you. Have a
good day. There he is, Anthony Rizzo, brought to you by your Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Dear driver, hurry in and save Toyota and Valparaiso University. The NBA has become the Wild West at games. Unreal. Next.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Oh. Rolling on, Cap and Jay Hood. Hoodie off today, back tomorrow. The whole family will be back together. Jeff, Danny, JR are here. We'll talk to Carm and Yerk in like 3 minutes for crosstalk. Mahler's got a big day with the dog. So, Danny, the weather's getting much nicer, man. We can start hanging out outside. Your gym you created in your garage won't be so cold anymore.
I'll tell you what, we went to the pool yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I live in Glenview.
Isn't it a little chilly?
Well, that's the thing. You have to make a reservation now. Because of the pandemic and COVID, you have to actually make a reservation. You get a two-hour
block. To go to the public pool?
Correct. Because they don't want 1,000 people showing up at once. So I had a reservation yesterday for 2 p.m. As sure as hell, I showed up with my family at 2 p.m. We were going swimming. It was Memorial Day weekend. The pool was open. We were going in.
Did you get in the water?
Oh, yeah. I was miserable. Yeah, the kids did. It didn't even faze the kids. My three kids are swimming in the water like it was nothing. They got out. They were shivering. I was cold the whole time. I was miserable the whole every second in
Diana
the water.
Diana get in?
Oh, of course not.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. I don't even think she brought a bathing suit.
Yeah, that'd be my wife. Same way. Same exact way. But Tracy Butler has a pretty much a gold star for this coming forecast.
Let's just call her Butler until she earns her first name back.
That's
it was a crappy
idea.
Memorial Day weekend.
It was cold on when? Friday?
Friday was a rough one.
Rough one. But Saturday, Sunday were decent.
Listen, if it was April, Saturday would have been beautiful. We would have been happy. For May 28th or whatever it was, Memorial Day weekend, absolutely not.
That's a good point.
Don't curb it. Yeah. It was crap.
Yeah, she does not get her first name back until we start seeing consistent degrees in the 80s.
Correct.
This is my kind of temperature. I loved it, Tracy. Beautiful.
Fred Huebner?
I was going to say young Fred Huebner here.
Again, just because I enjoy a certain temperature does not make me an old crotchety man like Fred.
I just don't think it's
normal
to not like
70 degrees.
85, 90 degree
69
weather.
69 is nice. Some people don't like 80 degrees. Some people sweat when it's 80 and they'd rather just walk around with a nice sweater
on. Get your sweat glands removed then.
Yeah, okay, that seems a little bit extreme.
3-1-2-3-3-2-3-7.
I'm going to remove my sweat glands.
6.
No problems could come of that.
Hey, remind me tomorrow or for the Friday full. Well, I'm not here on Friday. Tomorrow, we've got to discuss what this film casting agent did. We got to talk about it tomorrow.
I feel like, you know what? There's websites that have been designed around what this guy did that Yurko could probably fill us in on next if you want, Cap.
That's called X Hamster. That's Yurko's spot.
No, this is Casting Couch.
Exactly. We will crosstalk with Carmen Yerk in 2 minutes.